Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. Also joined, look at this for a lineup. Jan Arda Fjortoff is here, as is Frank Leboeuf and Julien Laurent. Only one place, well, indeed one person, really, to start today's show with. It's got to be Cristiano Ronaldo. Portugal in action against Ireland in Group A. We saw Ronaldo, what? Miss a penalty. Well, preceding that, he kind of threw, can I say, a punch?
Yeah.
He threw an arm. The Irish wanted him off. He stayed on the pitch. Ireland 1-0 up. Two late goals from Cristiano Ronaldo. Two great headers as well to give them all 3 points, but some top of the group. In the other game in the group, Luxembourg beat Azerbaijan by 2-1. The numbers speak for themselves, don't they? Incredible. 111 goals in 180 games. In his last 52 matches for Portugal, he scored 54 goals since turning 30. It just seems he just has that desire.
It's ridiculous.
Well, there's a reason why when we're talking about the best player that ever played, he comes into it. You know, we talk about Pelé, we talk about Maradona, we talk about Messi. We don't talk about Ronaldo in the same footballing terms, per se, talking about passing the ball and creating. But when it comes to goal scoring, my goodness, has there been anybody better? I'm not so sure.
Those numbers would say absolutely not. And I think one of the issues why Ronaldo isn't spoken about in those terms is, and we've said this before, it's the first time you've had two players of the quality of Ronaldo and Messi playing at the same time. And largely, I think most people, I'll speak for myself, believe Messi better than Ronaldo. And so Ronaldo doesn't maybe get the credit that at least those numbers deserve. But to your point, Dan, you know, saying that Ronaldo has the desire, you cannot define what sets Ronaldo apart. He's not the first player to have that kind of desire.
Right.
But he is by far and away the best to have done it. So how can you quantify what he does? You simply can't. It's just an enigma around the game that you just have to accept it, that regardless of how you try to put the parts together, you're never going to come up with another player of that quality.
The numbers are phenomenal, Jan.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, the numbers. And Steve, you had a good point that we can discuss the best players in the world. And the last week, we now mourn Gerd Müller, who we say was the greatest goal getters of them all. But when you see the numbers that Cristiano Ronaldo got, it's unbelievable. And the two goals today, I mean, that just set him apart. What he's doing is art. That is Leonardo da Vinci. That is what he's doing with his body, how he managed to head those balls in. It's just like unbelievable. And he's doing that all the time. And I don't agree with Shaka. For me, Cristiano Ronaldo is better than Messi. And it's because he's reinventing himself. He's in development. He's developed himself all the time. He came to Manchester United as a tricky winger. And he comes back now as a more or less perfect body, a perfect football player, a perfect goal tally. And he's doing it years after years after years. It's just unbelievable and amazing to witness.
Wow. Jan's opened the door. We're going to walk through it. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to upset someone. I'll give you 30 seconds each. Frank, Messi or Ronaldo?
I was more Messi, but I would say that I'm now a Ronaldo because, as Jan explained, I think Ronaldo matured in a way that he changed his game, that he realized that at a certain age he couldn't be able to do what he used to do when he was younger, and matured enough to change and even change position and became, as you said, and as the numbers showed, a better top scorer. So that guy is why we define him, or maybe also Messi, as a fantastic player because they have a stamina. Comparing to all others, fantastic megastar that we know, those two players have the stamina that the others maybe didn't have. But I'm more now a Ronaldo than a Messi.
A real 30 seconds, not a French 30 seconds, Jules.
I think Ronaldo is the greatest goal scorer ever and greatest header of the ball ever as well, just in front of Jan. But Messi is the goal. Messi has been given a gift by God. I think Ronaldo is gifted, but had to work really, really hard, as we've been
explaining,
to get where he is now.
Yeah.
Yep. Messi for me.
PSG's Lionel Messi.
Messi plays for PSG, well, that's why.
Even more now.
Frank, should Ronaldo have been sent off?
No, I'm fed up, you know, with somebody reacting to why the guy comes too close to the penalty spot and kick the ball away. He shouldn't be there. So, no, it's okay. And what? You know, he barely touched him. He touches his shoulder and the guy touches his head. Come on. I'm fed up with those players, you know. Stop complaining. If you look for the fight, accept the fight. You know what I mean? So, no, of course not.
Before you interject, Sue, I spoke to Peter Walton, and he said striking an opponent is a red card offence. If the force used is negligible, it's a yellow card.
That seems to be a convenient grey area from officials. That now we've got to decide on how. It's like, you know, how hard do you kick somebody? Well, if you only kick him a little bit and it doesn't count, but if you kick him really hard, it counts.
What about if
that's not helping anybody.
What if you try to strike the opponent hard, but you just can't seem to?
But it's not a clenched fist. It's not a clenched fist.
What if you swing at somebody and miss?
It's more of a shove, isn't it? It's more kind of like.
What if you swing and the guy ducks and you miss?
Well, then that's
a red card.
That's a red card offence.
Well, but why is that? Because you don't even hit him.
Yes, but the intent is there, isn't it?
So what is he intending to do there?
Just get rid of him. Like, flot a swire.
I think the intent there is to punch a she. Albeit in the shoulder, and albeit he doesn't do a very good job of throwing a hard punch. But the intent is there.
So red for you?
Red for me.
Stevie?
Red,
absolutely.
Jan?
No. I think there's great man management by the referee. Yes, it is a grey area, and that stupid Irish defender, and the referee had a look at him, hitting his shoulder, as you can see now, and he got pain in his head. Look, oh, am I head? Oh, yeah, good.
Let me tell you something. Look, if O'Shea did that to Ronaldo, he'd be off. No question.
100%.
If O'Shea did that to Ronaldo, he'd be off. No question.
Yep.
I have a question for Stevie and Shaka. What do you do about the defender who kicks the ball away?
Well, you get a yellow card.
Is he right to shoot the ball?
That's the easiest question we've had all day. It's a yellow card. Easiest question of the day. Yellow card, no danger.
Oh. Jules, what do you think?
Okay, no danger.
Yep. I think it's a yellow for both. I don't think Ronaldo is hard enough or is enough to deserve a red card in the first place. And I think O'Shea should get a yellow card for that stupid kicking the ball away that he did. I think a yellow each would have been really fair. I think a red for Ronaldo would have been too harsh.
Elsewhere, France could only manage a 1-1 draw against Bosnia-Herzegovina in Group D. And Dzeko would give the visitors the lead. France with a fortunate equaliser thanks to Antoine Griezmann. And then France down to 10 men in the second half. Koundé sent off. So it finishes one apiece. Jules, how do we sum up this game?
Disappointing. I thought really disappointing in the performance to start with, and there are explanations to it. Someone like Varane only had one game so far this season. You had players missing, but I thought the lineup from Deschamps was wrong once again, and it's not the first time that we say that. I'm still shocked, to be fair, to hear him on French television after the game explaining that Jordan Veretout, who we saw being amazing with Roma in a double pivot in midfield, and who is certainly a far more box-to-box player than a holding midfielder, and Deschamps explaining to us after the game why he played Veretout as a holding midfielder, more than Tchouaméni, for example, who also plays in the double pivot and was very good when he came on. I don't think that Deschamps has watched much Jordan Veretout play last season, where he was not at all a holding midfielder, and even less this season as well with Cristante at Roma. So I'm not sure what's happening. I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe he's lost his touch. Certainly he's lost his touch, but I there's a point where we have to say things like they are. He's making too many mistakes now, both in the way he sets up his team and then the fact that we see nothing in the game. Again, today, there was no patterns of play, there was no idea, there was no direction, and I find that really, really, really frustrating.
Frank?
Well, I will have to agree with Jules, you know. It was an average game. Of course, Koundé was sent off, you know, straight after the beginning of the second second half, and he changed the tactic. But overall, in the first half, I was very disappointed. And I know, I don't know, maybe the reason why, you know, Deschamps tries something else is because he wants to stick with some players who maybe don't deserve anymore to be on the lineup. Maybe like Griezmann. Griezmann didn't have a good game. He scored a goal with his back, which I think was quite fortunate. But after that, you know, I didn't see anything from him. And for some other players, it's the same. I think you have to refresh maybe the national team. Use the players that you want to use. I think it's a very good idea to put Veretout on, but put him in at his right position. And I saw a good command as well. I saw some good players, you know, coming on. I don't know, it's maybe not the best first 11, but there are two other games, so it's why maybe Deschamps took that decision.
You want Deschamps out then, Jules?
I don't want him out. I want him to get things right. And this is not the first. This is not the first time today. There's been many shows where we've debriefed some of Francis' games and his performance. And every time it was, or very often it was, a disappointment. Why? And we've explained every time the mistakes that he's made, whether it's in the lineup, the lack of, again, direction and ideas in the game. I mean, it's great to have Griezmann, Mbappe and Benzema, and I'm sure, like L'Equipe said it before Euros, a lot of countries and head coaches envious in a way to have that front three. Okay, make it work now, because like Frank said, if it doesn't work, change it. Because now tonight was the seventh game that them three played together, and apart from those 25 minutes in the second half against Switzerland at the Euros, where they really combined and did well, the rest, there's just nothing happening between them. So he has to make it work, and he's making mistakes, and there's a point where those mistakes will be too much.
Meanwhile, Group G is turning out to be one of the tightest in qualifying. Just 2 points separate the top four. We saw Norway face off against the Dutch. That would finish 1-1. Jan, you were at the game.
I was, and first of all, it was fantastic to be at a game again. This is the first home game we have had in 2 years' time, and we were allowed to have 7,000 fans today. Of course, Norway being the most careful land in the whole world getting fans in, but okay, we were there today, and it was a good game. we played Holland. It's a much better team than us. We are more like a Holland team, and then we just hope that some defenders will turn up, and they did today. Yes, Holland were the better team. That was not a surprise, but I was quite impressed by our kids today. We had to play our home game against Turkey in Malaga, Spain. We lost that 3-0, so that was a disadvantage for us. But we have a younger team that need to take the steps, and we were very close to win it, as you saw. Erling Haaland, and a battle between Erling Haaland and Van Dijk today was brilliant. One great striker and one great defender, and they had something out there, and I love to watch that. And we're happy with that 1-1. I mean, that was a self-confidence boost for us. We're a small football nation, and we just have to hope that these young kids will take the next step.
How did the Dutch look, Jan?
They didn't look that efficient. There was a lot of keeping the ball, De Jong always on ball, of course. So they kept the ball a lot, but it didn't create a lot. It's a Van Gaal team. We had hope. He normally loses some of his first games, but it was like the Dutch team, but not in a full speed. So. Like you said, this is a group that is unbelievable tight. We are playing now Latvia and Gibraltar. The two next games, they've got to be 6 points and then maybe set us up for something. But it's still for Turkey and the Netherlands to lose this. Although Montenegro's goal in Turkey was a big boost for also Norway.
Talk us through the photo you've posted, Jan.
Karsten Warholm is from my region, and if you know athletics and Olympics, this is a 400 meter hurdles gold medal winner from Tokyo. So I take him to some football games, and he was there today, so it brought us luck.
Oh yes, did he have his medal with him?
Pardon?
Did he have his medal with him?
I couldn't see it, but maybe he had it in his back pocket. Aww. But he was. But listen to this. He meant that he was a much better player than Usain Bolt. Remember, he meant that he was one of the best players in the world. And to be fair, he wasn't. So Carsten Warholm, we knew, tried it, the same level. So he wants to play with one of the big clubs. So Manchester City is probably be the first place where he's going to trial. I do a trial. So watch out for that.
Don't tell Craig. Well, the fun continues over on Extra Time with Stevie, Shaka and Frank.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It really was in Spain, wasn't it, where all the big drama unfolded on the final day of the transfer window. The front page of AS, the bombshell was Griezmann. Meanwhile, it's like a love letter from Marca to Mbappe saying, you'll always have Madrid, the Catalan newspaper, Sport, saying adios to Griezmann. It really was quite an extraordinary summer. We've asked Jules to give us his top 10 storylines. Go for it, Jules.
We start with number 10, and it's Achraf Hakimi, who left Inter Milan to go to PSG, 60 million euros, which is a lot of money, but he's arguably the best right back in Europe right now with Trent Alexander-Arnold together, and already you can see the impact that he had on PSG. At number 9 is another defender, Raphael Varane, this time leaving Real Madrid with just 1 year left on his contract to go to Manchester United, and that could be a game changer for United, who needed a better centre-half to play alongside Harry Maguire than Victor Lindelof, and I think in Varane they really found a star. Number 8, Sergio Ramos, because not only Real Madrid lost Varane, but they also lost the other centre back, and again we never thought that Sergio Ramos would leave Real Madrid one day, and he left as a free agent as well to go to PSG. Number 7, Jack Grealish. Is he worth 100 million euros? Pounds, sorry. No, he's not. But that was the release clause, and that's what Man City had to pay and Pep Guardiola to make him sign for them. Let's see that what kind of season he will have for them. One that didn't come, and it's at number 6, is Harry Kane. He really pushed for a move. He really wanted a move. He said it publicly. He said it privately. And in the end, Daniel Levy never really opened the door. At number 5, and you mentioned it, Dan, is Antoine Griezmann. What an incredible few hours on Tuesday night when the two clubs found an agreement for a loan, and then the paperwork was sent to La Liga 11:59, just 1 minute before the end of the transfer window, and that meant Griezmann is back home to Atletico Madrid. In number 4, Romelu Lukaku, because again, this could be a game changer for Chelsea, under 100 million pounds for the striker, who is maybe the strongest he's ever been. So that could have a big impact on Chelsea this season. Number 3, Kylian Mbappe. Maybe the most fascinating non-transfer in the history of transfer windows. So many news, fake news, news again, fake news again between Real Madrid and PSG. A big poker game. And in the end, he stayed in Paris. Number 2, and now we're down to the two goats. Number 2, Cristiano Ronaldo. We knew that he was... he wanted to leave Juventus, and they left it really, really late, Manchester United, to come and get him when we thought he was going to City, to the arch enemy. And instead, Sir Alex Ferguson worked his magic to bring Ronaldo back home. And then the number one is Leo Messi, simply because we never thought he would leave Barcelona. We thought that everything was sorted for his new contract, the extension, and in the end, they could not keep him. He had to leave, and he went to Paris.
Wow. Good job, Jules. Jan, yeah. Do you agree?
Thank you.
Jan or Jules or Jan?
Well, yeah, Jan, I got mixed up, all right? It's international week.
Yeah, it is. No, I think that was is a great list, and you took some, you called it transfer stories, and it was right to put Kane and Mbappé in. I think for me, going from the Bundesliga, I think that Sancho got to be in there. It was a lot of money, and because he hasn't landed yet in Manchester, we just think of him that he hasn't arrived yet at Manchester United because he hasn't been that good. You had Upamecano going. That was a big story in Germany for a defender going from the number two to number one, Bayern Munich. And also, if you could bring in the story, is one of the biggest club, Bayern Munich. They took Nagelsmann, a 34-year-old coach from Leipzig. But I think Jules have done a great list.
Jules, obviously, you're not. Why aren't you on the podcast tomorrow? What are you doing? Are you going on holiday?
I'm going on holidays, yeah, for
again?
A few days with the family.
Oh, that's right. You're taking
a what do you mean again?
Shaka.
The last
what?
Time was ages ago.
How did I get mentioned here?
Oh, wow. Shaka. Here we go.
Oh, I can't believe
where
that.
Where are you going, Jules?
Can't believe that. To Portugal. Only for 4 days. We're coming back Sunday. Oh. Chill out.
Jules, if you were on your podcast on Thursday, how would you sum up this transfer window?
Really extraordinary, because we thought it would be quiet, we thought it would be slow because of the pandemic. All the clubs have been hit quite hard financially, and yet it was maybe the wildest transfer window we've ever had, the most impressive, the most incredible, for all the reasons and all the little stories that we mentioned in our top 10. But like Jan said, we could have picked 15, 20 maybe. There's still names that we haven't mentioned in the list or in this segment, and that happened. It's just crazy. And not just PSG and or free agent, but the loan deals, the deals that we thought were going through didn't go through in the end. I mean, what about this story between Frankfurt and Lazio for Kostic? I mean, Frankfurt gave Lazio the wrong email address to make
No,
of course, it was the wrong email address.
That is wrong.
And in the
that
end,
is a spin,
they
Jules.
Crazy.
No, that is a spin. That is a spin. Oh. They never gave them. Apparently, Lazio sent an email and they left out the F. So they sell it to Eintracht Frankfurt. Who believe in stories like that? Kostic went to strike. Kostic went to strike. You don't do that as a football player. Whatever, wrong mail or whatever. On Friday, he said, I don't want to play the game in Bielefeld. Who do that? Don't do that, please.
Wow. God, I wasn't expecting to take this turn. Let's look ahead then, shall we, already to the next transfer window. Erling Haaland, of course, will be the focus of many attention. According to the bookies, Manchester City, the favourite to be the destination for the hot young striker. Real Madrid, PSG, United and Bayern Munich all in the mix. Jan, if I was to ask you now where I should put Stevie's $50, where should I put it?
I think you, if you put money on it, you have to put it where there is a space right now. But I don't think anyone, and I don't think Tim Holland, and I include Raiola in that, they don't know where they're putting him next summer, because they need to be a space for him somewhere. Well, Manchester City didn't get a striker. Real Madrid didn't get Mbappé. Could they take both Mbappé and Haaland? Do they have the money next season? Who will be the coaches? Will be fired during this season? So, and Bayern Munich will always be around looking for them. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge tried to put pressure on them. Now, I think that we will lose this player, the Bundesliga I was talking about, and he didn't say Bayern Munich. He said, I think Bundesliga will lose this player, and Sportbild in Germany wants to kind of add up the prices. Apparently, that Raiola has asked for free, demanding a fee. That is wrong again, because they want to kind of heat this up. But I think we should fasten the seatbelt. Next summer will be again unbelievable. And I think this is all about, we don't have a Super League. Well, we have a Super League with PSG, Manchester City and Chelsea. There are monies flying around more than ever. And it's just like unbelievable and cool to follow.
Frank, you think we made you stay up late? We haven't even spoken to you in this segment. What would you like to say? Anything?
No. You know, I want to talk about the awkward. And that was a perfect list for me. I want to congratulate Jules. I know I liked it, you know. I just want to talk about the awkward. It's a fantastic French work. Very good French work. Just something, talking about the awkward transfer, is Petkovic, the national coach of Switzerland, who did something fantastic against France during the Euro and signed for Bordeaux. Which is a club who's almost ready to bankrupt, to go down. And I don't know what was the reason why he decided to go there. That's a real question mark for me. Maybe Jules can fill me in that matter, because Petkovic is a fantastic coach, did something fantastic to Switzerland, with Switzerland, and he just signed for Bordeaux. I'm very, very...
confused.
Curious.
Confused.
Curious. Confused.
Yes.
You could do that privately because we haven't got time for this discussion, really. Tor Christian Carlsen has talked about the winners and losers of the transfer window over on the website. Barcelona, yes, the losers. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast drops on Thursday. As we mentioned, no Jules, so it'll be Stuart Robson sitting in and listening to Gab. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Kay will be in the hot seat. Gab will be here, as will Nicky Bandini and Nader Manua. Bad day for Scotland, defeated by Denmark by 2-0.
I mean, another bad day.
Well, this could be really bad. You might be going to the World Cup. Denmark flying in that.
I could have told you that before today.
That's it then. We will be back.
You asked me. Sorry, you just asked me. I would have told you.
Until tomorrow. Goodbye. Welcome then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Thanks as well for all your comments over what happened yesterday. Stevie, that noise that you made seems to have taken Twitter.
Noise.
Yes. Do you remember the noise you made? Steve, can you make that noise again on a daily basis to start the show?
Oh, the old dun dun dun.
Yeah! That was very good.
I actually did it on the instruction of you, to be fair.
Well, no, I asked you to. I asked you to make a noise, and you impromptu.
Yeah, if you remember, we were messing around before we actually taped.
Were we? I don't know.
Because we were talking about your kid. You were going around the house making a noise because it was
transfer deadline day, and they couldn't care.
Dun dun dun! Now we started.
And
that's when you asked me.
So it's all dance.
See, so it's dance.
It's good. I inspired the noise.
Dan and his children.
Is Shaka okay after yesterday? He was laughing so hard I thought he might explode.
And what was I laugh at that so hard?
Well, it'd be Griezmann, us playing the trumpets.
Yeah, that was
Stevie's contraption.
I was looking at Steve trying to explain this thing. I'm thinking, what is he talking about?
I know. Frank reading his own book to put him to sleep. It's one of those. When will Best of the Week return? Because yesterday was absolutely hilarious and amazing. Our producers say they're not doing it. Mike, in particular, has refused, apparently.
Why is the dog dying? Somebody's...
That's what he's saying.
You could just do it, Dad. You could just throw it in, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm very busy, Shaka. Very busy man to be editing those sort of things. Frank, how was the sleep last night?
Well, you know, as you advised me, you know, I read my book, I opened the first page, I fell asleep. That was perfect.
You need two bridges.
Not a surprise, really.
No, I think that's fair enough. Was Antoine Griezmann actually an Atleti double agent the whole time, Frank? He cost Barca a lot of money, didn't perform well there, was crucial in moving Messi away because of his wages, then head back to Atleti once the job's done. Just tremendously effective.
Well, I would say that it's a very great investment for Atletico. You know, you sell a player and you buy it, you know, and not even half of what you got the money from. So, I wouldn't say it's a double agent, but the circumstances of and the timing that we saw and what happened during this time in Barcelona goes for Atleti, that's for sure. That's for sure. And now he goes back. And he's going to be treated as a hero. So, a perfect world for Atleti, that's for sure.
Agent Antoine. Ooh. Well, that's got a nice ring. Mm.
Do the noise. I could go with it.
do you want to stick your hand up the back of my shirt and then start working me? Is that what you wanted there? Hey.
When transferring to new club, what is the hardest thing to pick up, Stevie? Is it the tactics on the pitch or getting together and messing with teammates in the dressing room?
The hardest thing? I don't know.
It depends on the individual. I would think it's just getting to know the other players, what they like, how they like to receive the ball, whatever it may be.
Right.
Dressing room is easy, especially once you get into new dressing rooms. They're pretty similar. And then tactics, again, you figure that out. But every player likes things differently on the pitch. You're just getting to understand individual quirks.
It depends on what. It actually depends on what team you're going to.
Okay.
If you go to one of these teams where the manager thinks it's about him and his tactics are changing every 5 minutes, then your head gets scrambled.
Like Revs a few years ago.
But if you join a good team, so I've been told.
Stevie and Paul.
But if you join a good football team, the basics are pretty much similar. It's just little. I would think it's the biggest things. What sort of character the individual is.
Right.
You know, if you're kind of outgoing, it makes it easier. If you're a bit reserved, then I would assume it would be harder. I don't remember having a problem myself, that was all. That's why.
Because you're so outgoing, Steve.
That's why I'm struggling with the answer.
So outgoing and friendly. What do you make of Ansu Fati, Frank, being given Messi's number 10 jersey at Barcelona? Should Barca have retired his number?
No, we're not in America. We don't work like that, you know. And I think it's American habits, I would say, and that it's not in our world of football kind of a habit. So I wouldn't go that way. It's hard to just be behind Messi, but it's a way to see another era and to see that nobody is eternal. And life goes on, and it's nice to see the future of Barcelona under Ansu Fati. So I have no problem whatsoever with that.
What was your number, Frank?
Until I played for Chelsea, it was a 5. Then I, with the national team, with the World Cup in '98, I picked the number 18. So when I signed for Marseille, I kept the number 18. So it's 18 and 5.
Why 18?
And the only player who, why 18? Because my son was born the March 18th. And the 5, you know, after me, the one who won the number 5 after me was Michael Essien. Fantastic. I was so proud of that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Shaki, did you have any preference when it came to numbers?
No.
No.
One.
That's it.
Imagine
you know, Dan. You know, Dan.
Yes.
When I signed to Qatar, I took the number one, and I was playing with the number one because it reminded me. I don't know if you remember. You were young. Osvaldo Ardiles in 78 was playing for Argentina. I was wearing the number one, and Filiol, the captain, was the goalkeeper, was wearing the number five. And I kept that in my mind. I said, well, that would be nice to play for once, you know, with the number one, because it's normally due to the goalkeepers. And I had a chance, the Qatar Federation accepted it. So I played 2 years with the number one. That was great.
How vain.
La caca.
Why is that
little?
Why is that vain?
Little extreme.
Why running around with number one on his back?
He's wearing number one.
I'm number one.
I thought Fiore wore number seven, personally, but... Oh. I trust Frank's memory more than I trust mine, I'll be honest.
What about Ardiles?
No, Ardiles wore one. I thought Fiore wore seven.
No, for sure. Number five.
Right,
for sure.
Like, as I said, I trust your memory more than I trust mine.
What number did the goalkeeper have then?
Thank you very much.
Fiore was the goalkeeper. Oh, you mean for Qatar?
Yeah, for Qatar. Oh, my God.
I just told you.
Oh, the goalkeeper. Oh, I was with you, Shaka. I don't remember. I don't remember which number he had.
He didn't care.
I don't know.
Didn't care.
Yeah, as long as he was
as long as he had number one.
As long as I'm number one, I don't care what anybody else wears.
A bit early, but predictions for the World Cup. Stevie, who's going to win it?
I know who's not going to be in it.
Trinidad and Tobago?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I don't think Scotland's going to be in it either.
Lost to Denmark today.
Oof. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Favourites? I've no idea.
Frank, who's going to win the World Cup?
What? 2022?
Oh, dear.
I don't know. I was looking at it because I think it's too early.
That's all right.
France. Why not?
Yeah.
Brazil.
France.
Argentina. Yeah.
Brazil.
We're in Argentina, I am.
What was the craziest experience from any away World Cup qualifier you've experienced in terms of travel, hotel, fans, etc.?
Travel. Coming back from Costa Rica World Cup qualifier, our plane had to make an emergency landing. Does that count?
Yes.
In the middle of some jungle?
Yes, that definitely counts.
Yeah, I would think that would fall into the category.
We left Costa Rica and surprise, surprise, I fell asleep as soon as we took off. Woke up to a cabin full of smoke.
Wow.
Yeah, and we were right over the trees. Come up on some runway in the middle of nowhere. There's not another plane in this airport. There's no terminal, anything short. We land there. And we had to wait. We ended up waiting on the ground. There was one payphone, because you can't get cell phone service. You're seriously in the middle of the jungle. There was one payphone, so we were able to call home and tell our families what was happening. And we waited for about 8 hours for American Airlines to send a plane to pick
Goodness
us up.
That's me, Shank.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was that was quite an experience.
I bet it was. I think you set the bar rather high.
Oh, yeah.
Frank?
We went to Australia, I think it was in 99 or 2000, and it cost to the Federation €1 million for 3 days. We had a 747 plane with only beds, first class, for all the players. And on the coach area, they put the beds out and put table for us to have massages. That was a hell of a flight, I tell you. To have a massage, to relax, to even play football on the plane because we have so much spaces. That was great. That was great. We really felt champion of the world.
We really have gone from one end of the spectrum to the other. The jungle in Costa Rica.
We used to have to fiddle expenses to try and make any money playing with Scotland.
Really?
And they're spending $1 million on a plane.
Wow.
Yep. You got a qualifier.
Well, they won. I don't think it was a qualifier, wouldn't you? You can go to Australia for a qualifier.
No. It was a friendly game, and we've been hammered by people in France by the Federation. Because and we drew. I think it was a 1-1, and we lost. Dugarry got injured on top of it. So when we came back, the Federation has been hammered because it was completely useless. You know, 24 hours flight, 3 days, and just go back. Clubs were very upset with that decision. Whatever, you know, that was the life of world champions.
Stevie?
The strangest one actually was with an under 21 Euro qualifier.
Right.
Before the old Iron Curtain. We played East Germany away.
Okay.
And we're in the hotel. We were training later that night. And myself and Roy Aitken decided to go and buy the kids a toy.
Okay.
I thought, you know, maybe the last chance you get of ever being in East Germany.
Yep.
We could not find a toy shop.
Okay.
At all. And then after about 20 minutes of walking, Roy went, he said, have you noticed anything? And I was like, oh, what do you mean? He goes, well, number one, the streets were packed and nobody was talking. He said, have you noticed anything else? I'm like, oh no. He said, have a look behind you. He said, there's two guys who've been following us since we left the hotel.
Ooh.
So I was like, ah, I think we better go back to the hotel.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I'm just thinking of TV walking the streets of East Germany.
I was like, ah.
Do you know where there's a toy shop?
I was talking away.
I'm looking for a toy shop. Anybody know where there's a toy shop?
Give a little lad stop the way.
Of course. And of course the police were following
around East Germany going, dun, dun, dun.
Well, when I saw the two guys, I went, dun, dun, dun.
Oh, crikey. Frank, you want to say something?
Dan.
Yes.
Dan, can I? Yes, like for 2 minutes, can I tell a story about a French game where we are with the national team? We went to South Africa and we landed and we went on the coach and the first thing we went to a villa. We arrived to Johannesburg and we went to a villa and the big doors opened and it was Nelson Mandela's house.
Wow.
And we went in and at the time I was maybe the only one speaking English, so there is a picture of all my friends, you know, Lilian Thuram, Marcel Desailly, Thierry Henry, and me at front, you know, talking to Nelson Mandela, which I found pretty awkward, you know, because it should have been them, in fact, because they were dreaming about meeting Nelson Mandela. And I was translating to all my friends and everything. And we had a blast. We had a fantastic time. You know, it was such an honor to meet Nelson Mandela. And we played that game, a friendly game against South Africa, where the only white guy in the South African national team was Fish. I don't know if you remember that player playing for South Africa. And in fact, we were warming up with the national team, with the French national team. And I looked, and I was the only white guy playing for France as well, you know. So that was really fun. And that was a very good time that we had together. And I could feel really privileged to be among all my friends who really wanted to meet Nelson Mandela and South Africa. You know, I still have, you know, how do you say, goosebumps, yeah. You know, when I talk about it, because for them, it was like a dream coming true. That was great, great.
Very cool, Frank. Wow. From crashing in the jungle.
Yeah.
For Shaka, was all the hype of Cristiano Ronaldo looking at Manchester United's legacy, is it fair to consider Dwight York a Manchester United legend, or is that my bias of a fellow Trimbagonian?
Yes. To consider Dwight a Manchester United legend, yes. But Dwight was there, and I don't think there's any debating that was one of the most successful periods in Manchester United's history. Whether he will be regarded as a legend, the bar is so high at Manchester United, I'm not the one to say. Obviously, I'm biased, and I'm not a Manchester United fan. But I think legendary status comes with titles and accolades and time. You have to have both. I'm not the one to decide whether Dwight York was there long enough. I certainly think he's won enough to be considered as much.
Who's more popular, Brian Lara or Dwight York?
Probably Brian Lara, in all honesty.
Is Anthony Martial good enough for Manchester United, Frank?
Well, you know, big competition between all the people at front. Greenwood is coming up very, very well. Anthony Martial came on tonight playing with the national team. We barely saw him. I don't know what's going on with Martial. He has so much talent, but the consistency is not there. So I don't know if he's good enough to Manchester United. He served the club well when he started. but it doesn't seem to be in the project of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, so I don't think he is anymore.
Let's get away from soccer, shall we? Frank, have you ever been on vacation in Kenya? Great beaches at the coast. The wild beast migration at the Mara is one of the wonders of the world.
I would love to go there. It's a plan that we have with my wife because we want to see the Big Five. We want to go to there. I went to South Africa to see the elephants and everything, but I want to go to Kenya or Namibia to go there. But you know, it's not really secure right now, so I still have a problem to say, okay, let's go, let's take that risk. You know, if it's a little bit more secure, I will go for sure because I want to see that before I close my eyes forever.
Oh dear.
Very deep.
Damn it. Forever? You're not expected to do that shortly, are you, Frank?
that book has taken it too long.
If you ever get some PhD in that book.
Did you go to Kenya with Bruce Grobbelaar?
South Africa.
South Africa.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic. Went to Victoria Falls, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a picture skew guy.
Right.
But it looked fantastic.
But you wouldn't go back?
It's a bit far.
Shaka, who has better food, Trinidad or Tobago?
Scotland.
And what toppings do you recommend on bacon and shark? I'm very sad I can't find any Trinidad and Tobago restaurants in Colorado.
Oh.
Wow, it's a lot to unpack there, Shaka.
Let's see, who has the better food?
What are you known for, food-wise?
What are we known for?
Aye.
Roti,
fish and chips.
We have quite a diverse offering.
Yeah, I don't know.
Offering, Stephen.
Well, none of it that you would like.
No, yeah,
no,
yeah.
No, no. Like any of it.
Like none of it is shepherd's pie. I think Trinidad has better food. Tobago has better seafood.
Okay.
And then what would you have on bacon shark? Whatever you want. Lettuce, tomato, pepper, and hot pepper. I keep it simple.
What is bake and shark?
So we were discussing bake a few days ago.
Yes.
It's basically a flat bread.
Right.
In this instance, it's fried. And then shark, fried shark. Fish, as in the fish.
No, thanks.
So in simple terms, a fish sandwich.
It's a fish
very
sandwich.
Simple.
Is there any ground beef in
there? No, yeah. There is no.
Final question, Frank. I'm literally off to France from Ireland in 12 hours' time. I'm off to, I don't know, Aix-en-Provence. I know you live there. Any place...
Aix-en-Provence, yeah.
Any place in Aix you recommend and little towns nearby. I like Ventabren. Ventabren
as a What's for that?
Is it good? I'll probably be watching extra time waiting for the plane. Oh, there you go.
Aix-en-Provence is one of the nicest cities that we have in France. It's just above Marseille. John Malkovich used to live there, and his kids were going to school in Aix-en-Provence. It's very It's absolutely fantastic. Ventabren is just a city, little, I would say it's like Watford, let's say.
Oh.
It's very small, but it's very cute. Everything around, you know, Aix-en-Provence is beautiful. You have, we talked about Cézanne the painter one day, you know, on Extra Time. You have that fantastic hill that you can go to. You know, the Provence is beautiful. People are less interesting, but the sightseeing is very nice.
What's wrong with the people?
Well, they're from Marseille, you know, they exaggerate everything. They're not humble. They're absolutely the opposite of myself.
Were you with number one on the shirt? Yeah.
if Frank is saying you're not humble, you have real issues.
No, but, you know, why I wanted to have the number one is because Osvaldo Aldiles, and I wanted to feel like Shaka Islop.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
I totally understand.
That is it.
Is that it?
That is it. Okay. Enjoy your trip to Provence. Well,
what's the other place?
Vente what?
Vente what?
Ventabon.
Ventabrun.
You're wrong. That's right.
Frank, yeah.
You're wrong, Frank.
You're useless people. You're useless people. Unbelievable.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LectricEbikes.com.